Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It is Saturday night. This is Off the Chain. I am your host, Yvonne Mason. And that song, Just the Way You Are by Bruno Mars, is in honor of my little granddaughter we lost 2 years ago. Her birthday is in a couple of weeks on October the 13th. And Ramonda, I hope you're listening. Because you taught us all that we are all amazing just the way we are. So none of you guys change, because I am so, so grateful for each and every one of you, my audience, my guest, my co-host tonight, because ladies and gentlemen, as of this morning, because of y'all, because of my guest and my listeners, y'all have made this happen. We are at 53,000 plus. Just on Blog Talk Radio, with Australia being our biggest listening base. God love you, Australia. And in 70-plus countries and all of the podcast, we are almost to 70,000 listeners worldwide, ladies and gentlemen, because of y'all. This show is your show. It is not my show. It is your show. Belongs to my listeners, belongs to my guests, belongs to my co-host. thank you from the bottom of my heart. And with that being said, tonight I am very, very honored, doubly, not just singularly, but doubly, because I sent out a call. The guest that I had scheduled that had been on the books for a long, long time sent me a note and said that her publisher said it was a conflict of interest and she couldn't be on my show. And I went, do what? That's another story for another time. So I sent out a call and I said, okay, this is it, ladies and gentlemen. Either y'all get to listen to me for an hour for the third time this week or somebody decide they want to come on the show. So two people said, let me. Well, I had already booked the guest tonight, first-time author Debbie Fair, who we will introduce shortly. And so when my co-host said, I would like to, I said, I'll tell you what you do. Come co-host with me tonight, and then I'll slot you in for a show, because this extremely beautiful woman is magnificent. My co-host tonight, and please, if I massacre your last name, call me out on it. Michelle Carmela Saldana, who is founder, CEO at Once Upon an Eden, a film producer, a writer, an actor, a director, and she lives in the city of Los Angeles. Michelle, thank you for the privilege of allowing me to bring you on as my co-host.
Wow, thank you for the privilege. I'm so touched. I didn't know that you knew that much about me.
Oh, you'd be surprised what I know about
you. I just know that I follow you, and you're like my little vacation once in a while with your feisty little Southern Belle self.
Well, thank you. And our guest tonight, mine and Michelle's guest tonight. Now, bear in mind, ladies and gentlemen, Michelle and I have not talked all day long. So, as y'all know, this show is never, ever scripted. Because we have no idea. That's why we call it Off the Chain. It's so much fun. My guest tonight, who I had the privilege and honor of meeting at an event I went to back during the summer at the Space Coast Book Event in Cocoa Beach, her name is Debbie Fair. And she has graciously followed indie authors forever. And she has learned and she has paid attention and she has taken notes, I'm sure copious notes, and what she has done as she has decided that she wants to join our little community of indie authors. And it is with great honor and a great privilege to welcome first-time author Debbie Fair. She is 53 years old. She says she's always wanted to write for a while. And then after she visited us at the Space Coast Book Event, Debbie decided it was time. Now, what Debbie doesn't know about me is I was a couple of years older than Debbie when I published my first book. I'm a little bit older than that now, but I was in my 50s when I published my first book. Debbie's next novel is to write Glorious Coastal Sheriff. So, Debbie, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Yvonne. It's a pleasure to be with you guys tonight.
Well, when you get three women together, how much fun can one have?
Loads with Girls Night.
Absolutely. So let's kick off Girls Night out. And Debbie, tell Michelle and I, what in the world put you on this path? Was it something that happened as a kid? Was it a detour you took in life? Was it something that fell in your lap? How did this happen?
Well, I met an author at a very young age. One of the children's authors of some wonderful books, Mr. Walter Farley, who is deceased for many years. He wrote The Black Stallion and a whole lot of horse books. And I grew up showing horses and various events, including showmanship and also like barrels, poles, and different fun events that they did in the evening. So I always had a love of horses. I still do. I just don't own any anymore at my age. But he took the time in the summers to help us with his stories. He not only read to the younger kids, he would talk to us and, you know, tell us about how he began writing as a young man, but he didn't publish until he was much older, and how much fun and love that he had of meeting all the people. And I'm a people person. So I did my little stint for a long, long time of just writing little poems and little short stories, never thinking anything about it. Don't have a clue where any of them are. I don't think I kept any. But I am an avid reader from a young age. I even read to my daughter when she was in my belly. And she's an avid reader as well. And it just started from there. And I became disabled, and I have the time to work on it now. And I just was inspired by everybody that I met and how friendly and how they shared some of their journeys with me. And, you know, I found out you don't have to be a certain age to do this. If you love it, you can do it. And I did it. I'm getting my first book out, and it's going to be Christmas, 25 days of Christmas that I'm doing with a wonderful group of friends. There's 25 of us. There's one story for every day leading up to Christmas, and it's going to be an anthology. And Hanley Bradley, who lives in the UK, kindly invited me as a friend, and I'm also part of the group because they just started a Facebook group back in about the same time I went to Space Coast, and I have a membership with them, and we help each other, and we keep our chins up and help people through bad days and give tips, and like we're doing now, just talking with each other.
So, and Michelle,
it's fun.
Michelle, I know you've got some questions.
Well, first of all, I want to say congratulations. Good on you for reading to your baby while your baby was still in the womb. I did that with both of mine, too. It does make a difference. They even ended up with their favorite stories. The ones that I ended up reading most of them in their womb was the ones that became their favorites as toddlers.
Oh, cool.
And their birthdays are both. One was yesterday and one was today. So, congratulations on entering into the writing world and the adventures that you're going to take. Getting to know all the levels of yourself, it's quite the journey. How much of your characters reflect you? Is there one more than the other that you feel like reflects you, or some aspects about yourself?
Well, the first book I was writing is just something that I just started writing. I don't think it reflects anything other than I live in Florida and I love the beach. So I invented my own personal coastal town, and that's going to be maybe a 3-5 book series by the time I get done with this. Maybe it depends on how the readers like everything. I was halfway done with writing that, and I got the invitation to write for the Christmas stories. So I had to put that away, and start writing. So my Christmas story is kind of, because of my background with horses and stuff, my Christmas story is called The Cowboy's Christmas Surprise. And there's probably a little bit of me in there with the cowboys and the horses and stuff that happens. And who doesn't love a wonderful love story?
Oh, that's so true, especially around the holidays.
And your experience with the horses, Debbie, I'm sure is going to reflect itself in your story, because as Michelle and I both know, we write what we know for the most part. Is that would be a correct statement, Michelle, would it not?
I would say so. Most times they say write you know, write what you know or stick with what you know. But I'm an avid researcher, so there's constantly something that I'm coming across that I have sci-fi stories that end up becoming. I wrote a handbook of all things once that I've been trying to find because it would really be helpful. And I'm getting ready to go to Puerto Rico soon with the helping with the aid the hurricane, because of all the things that Yvonne has said I've done, what I've done the longest is I've been a missionary and an activist the longest. And so I'm looking for that handbook, and it's one, because it's a pretty interesting read, and two, it would be very helpful for this time of what's going on, but anyway, I digress.
Michelle, but you just gave Debbie a very good piece of advice, because when we start out writing, Debbie, we do start out normally, as a general rule, writing that we know. But as we grow in our writing capabilities and finesse our craft, we start branching out into other things and writing those things we don't know about, but we go and do the research. Now, Michelle just gave you an excellent piece of advice, and that is things that you're interested in, put them in a book so that you can do the research on them.
Oh, they will always. Cool. You will never get bored when you enter in the writing world. There's stuff that I put on my Facebook. There's quite a few Hollywood people on my Facebook or industry people on my Facebook. And there's somebody who's always mentioning to me, did you research this? Is this true? Did you verify this? Or some piece of something that I wrote how do you verify this? I said, well, you're talking to the person that you verify because I lived it.
Exactly.
And, well, can I put it in this? Can I put it in this? If you pay me for it, sure. And you never know who you're gonna come across with your writing, and who, you know, whether it's a book, a boring handbook, you know, something like as basic as a handbook, or even in any of these groups that you're networking, it's just amazing. And everybody, these groups are great because everybody is on the same playing field basically, and you work and you hone each other and you learn from each other. It's a great networking and support system. There used to be a time where writers had this a reputation for being cutthroat with each other. That's not the truth. That's not the case at all. We feed off of each other's intelligence and creativity. We look for each other because we need each other. We are that kind of community that we need each other. Years ago, I was going through a really hard divorce and separation, and I kept a journal. And there was this man in my church, and I left it at the church. I left it on the seat by accident. I went back to get it. He was reading it. I was so mortified. And I told him, I said, I need my journal back. And he goes, oh, you can have it back when I'm done with it. And he walked off. And
oh, no.
I didn't know it. And I was like, so 2 weeks later, he gives it back. But there's a couple of other people standing with him. And one is at that time was the program director of HBO. And he says, I want to turn this into a HBO series. And
are you
said,
serious?
Yeah. And I told
him, wow.
And we were at a church, mind you. I'm a minister. And I told him, F you. And I didn't say F. I said the word and I walked. I said, give me my book. My book of pain. And I walked away.
You never know what's going to happen.
You really don't.
So when you decided, when you got that call or that email or that text message or that private message from the young man in the UK, what was your reaction? Debbie?
I'm sorry.
I said when you
My
got
reaction?
That call. Yes, what was your reaction when you got that invitation to join this anthology?
Oh, it's a lady. Sorry, Hanley. And I immediately agreed because I've been with them since they started the Author Friends with Benefits group. There's three or four different things. I was excited because she knew how much that I was having fun writing, and it really made my day because Christmas is my favorite time of the year. Not only because you get to spend time with your family, but you get to see all the beautiful colors, and you also get to go through Christ's birth and the reason why we have our saving grace today. And it really touched my heart that she allowed me. Now, all of the books in there are not going to be clean like my contemporary romance. They're going to have humor and they're going to have a little bit of erotic. But my stuff, I know, is written from my heart. And I hope everybody enjoys it when it comes out.
And that's what makes an anthology fun, is because you get the different dynamic of different writers and in their craft. Because if everybody, and Michelle, I'm sure, will agree to this, if everybody wrote the same thing, think how boring life would be.
Yeah, I read a lot of other stuff, although romance is my favorite. I also have a big love for historical things. So any of the time period, you know, even if it's over in England, not just the Americas, but anything that has to do with historical stuff, I love reading it, as well as visiting different places and seeing the buildings and the way people live.
And why in the world? Why in the world, my child, have you not read my book, The Mad Hatter, and my book, A Voice from the Grave? Both of those are historical novels.
Okay, well, they'll be added to my list.
You should read The Mad Hatter. You'll love it. You'll love both
okay.
of them. Okay. But so, because you like reading romance, is writing romance your first love? What else do you like to write?
I really love reading the shifter paranormals because they're kind of mystical.
Mm-hmm.
And we know they're not real, but the way everybody writes them, you know, it could be something that happens. You just don't know. And I like the mystery and the suspense and those type of novels. So one of these days, after I get done with the series that I have planned, maybe I'll venture out and write something after I do a little bit more research on it.
Well, and I'm sure Michelle will back me up, because as artists, we do our craft, because if we don't, we will probably go more insane than we already are. So, and you said something earlier.
I do agree with that. It's a great detox.
It is. It's our addiction.
It is. Well, I have to. Do you ever come across writer's block? People ask me about writer's block, and I just say, well, I write until I have nothing to say. Then I get up and I'll wash the dishes or cook dinner and then go back or take a walk or go back and
just
if
get away
I
from
have something
the computer
to say,
for a while
say it.
And then it comes back.
Yeah, that's how I handle writer's block. But how do you handle writer's block?
I do the same thing. You know, I'll write for now I don't type very fast, but I write for 2 or 3 hours at a time, as my characters, everybody talks about plotting. My characters are just in my head and in my heart, and they just come out when I write. So I write about them.
Similar style.
And I walk away and walk outside, or I go and read for an hour and something will pop into my head. And if it's not a full thing, I just take notes. And then when I get up, I write some more later. I try to write something every day.
You and I have a very similar style, yes.
The thing about plotting, Debbie, is like you and Michelle, the characters are always fighting in my head for their voice. So, yeah, I may plot it out, but the way I want to plot it out and the way they want to present it, it's their way or the highway. Yeah, it's their way or the highway. Forget it, bitch. I'm not going to let you write if you're going to do it your way.
You know, the characters, I have one, there's one gentleman from Australia that he started off as radio, and he was writing, he would find himself to keep himself awake, because he worked at nighttime at the station, to keep himself awake, he would write. And he writes paranormal type of genre. He has me in two characters, and I'm like, woohoo!
Nice.
In his series, but I like how he will keep his on Facebook. He keeps his followers up to date because he says, "Oh, that," and he'll just name off one of the characters. Guess what she did today? I was writing her like this, and she decided that it was going to be this, and she and I just fought today, but I want to tell you, she won.
Yes,
he's really great about it, and he'll say, right now, I'm writing while I'm listening to Jared and Janie, and they're gossiping about the rest of their siblings while they're making up. He goes, their feud is over, but now it's on with the others. They just don't know it yet.
I like that.
And that's a direct quote. That's a direct quote. And it's just so much fun listening. Reading his post, and for years I listened to him on the radio. He would message me while I was on Facebook, and he'd say, if you could get on this radio station on the internet, I'll give you a work list, and I'll play some songs, and it'll be your work list. So and he's like, I contribute to her by keeping her awake. I'm like, yes, you do. But my point really is the way he engages his fans, and it could be a year or two before we get to read another book in this series, but he keeps us engaged and invested into the characters.
The process, yeah.
And also he finds ways to educate us through the process. Well, we kind of learn by osmosis, in a way.
Well, there you go, Debbie. There's another tip.
Yeah.
At least,
We'll have to get his name and read some of his books, because I love paranormal, that's for sure.
It's called Blood Loss. The first one's called Blood Kid, and the second one is called Blood Loss. Oh, it's on Amazon. But it's his sense of humor really comes out. And
Debbie,
I could hook you up with him on Facebook.
All right, hook both of us up, because I'd like to bring him on the show.
Debbie, let's do it,
and you can help me
tell him.
Okay, hook us up and we'll do it.
Oh, I would love that. And he would love that. I would love to listen to him, because he's so humble. And hear him hee-hawing in his Australian accent would be hilarious.
That sounds like a good combo. I love hee-haw.
So, Debbie, that brings up a point that we touched on earlier, that Michelle and I touched on earlier, and that is in this community, because I've met some mainstream authors that I had read for years and fell in love with, and when I met them, they were just as humble, Tim Dorsey being one of them, James Swain being another one, and what their humbleness is, they want us as indies to succeed like they have succeeded. And when we stay humble and don't forget where we come from, then our success is so much greater. And that brings me to the point of your Facebook page.
Yes,
your ma'am. Facebook page is filled with authors and books and releases and just on and on and on. And you did that as a reader, and I am so grateful for that.
Although I bought it right now. I'm sorry to cut you off.
That's
okay. Bought it right now, and I'm just so impressed because it's like you promote so many other people, and you're just what you know. It's their platform to shine.
Yes, ma'am. I freely let any of my author friends. I don't consider them just friends, they're family. My indie people that I was blessed today with attending the 2017 Indie Fest event, and I got to see a lot of my Space Ghost buddies, and I got to meet a few of the people that I've been lucky enough to read, and also win the special gift of their ebooks. And it was really, really good. I attended a lot of panels today, and they share their heart with you, and you pick stuff up from everybody, from listening to them talk, listening to the people around you talk. And I have totally been made to feel like a family member at both events, the Space Coast and with the Indie Fest today. It was awesome.
Well, I'm going to tell you right now, when the anthology is released, I expect to see you posting it on my page.
Okay.
And when your book is released, I expect the same thing, because my mantra, one of the many that I have, is I am only as successful as I help you to be. And people have been good and kind to me through my entire journey, and I know they have Michelle. And in order for us to be successful, we've got to help someone else to be successful. And you are already doing that, and you are just now becoming published. So you're already ahead of the game.
Yes, ma'am. But that's not the reason why I do it.
Well,
I
no,
do it
I understand
I love
that.
Books.
Right. But that, and as Michelle, I'm sure, will agree, what that does is that perpetuates this wonderful snowball of networking and promoting and pimping and encouraging
That's right.
others.
That's right.
Right,
yes,
Michelle?
I agree. I totally agree.
And it not only does it do that, but like you said, Debbie, it makes you feel like you're part of this wonderful indie family. And now you want to fulfill your dream, which is wonderful.
And I can't wait to get my copy, my first copy of my book. I'm going to be so excited.
Yes, you will. You'll be jumping up and down, I guarantee you. You will indeed.
You'll probably hear me all the way here on the West Coast, all the way over there on the East Coast.
Probably. Now, what when you set up the group called, let me find it, Sweet Beach Read, what does that group, what is the purpose of the group, and can anybody join, and why do you have it?
Yes, ma'am, anybody can join, and the reason why I made it a group was to do the very thing that we've been talking about all evening, sharing my friends. Sharing my love for books and letting everybody, even though it's sweet reads, because I write sweet romance, we all mostly like to read other genres too, and I let everyone post on my
on my page that has any sales going on, any book releases, any parties, they're more than welcome to join and have fun and keep us posted on not only on their book stuff, but I've invited them to share recipes. You know, it's getting towards the holidays. Let's have some recipes out there so we can get some new dishes to try over the holiday season. Some people do crafts as well as their writing, you know. Tell us about your crafts. Share your life. We're all friends, and we all see each other. It's just not as often as we would like to, you know, in the reader community, because most people have jobs, and they do their writing, and they have a family, and they have friends, and, you know, it's just nice to be able to communicate with everybody and share.
Michelle, she's already ahead of the game, way ahead of the
way
game.
Way ahead. She's way, way ahead.
I'm impressed.
You got in with some really great friends and great people.
She, I met her in June, like I said, and just fell in love with her and her husband. And she was not, Edward was not afraid to say, hey, put Debbie on your show Saturday night. Okay.
Yeah, he volunteered me before I even knew about it, but I went there and I told you anyway.
I said, I'll
come home early to do it.
It was too funny. Yeah, put Debbie on there, okay? And Debbie's going, huh? What? What am I doing? So
wonderful.
When is your novel going to be ready, your Glorious Coastal Sheriff?
I'm hoping to get it done before the end of the year because, like I said, I have about 10,000 words on that one. That was the first one I started. As I started, I wasn't writing every day, but once she got me into the Christmas story and it really pulled at me, now I want to do a lot of Christmas things, but because I love the holidays so much. But I'm going to get back in there. I have the first book started in the series. I'm probably about 10 to 12,000. I want to do about 25 to 35 on the first one maybe. And the next one will be about the same or more, but I already started the second one, but I've only gotten into a couple of chapters because some of the people were talking to me and I just had to get them out on paper.
Uh-huh. We understand that, don't we, Michelle?
I didn't think I'd write more than one at a time, but I had three of them going there for a little while.
Welcome to our world in spades.
Wait till you get inspiration while you're traveling or you're in the middle of connecting a flight and you're running through the terminal and you're repeating a phrase to yourself over and over again, hoping that you don't lose it as soon as you get to your seat.
That's why we have smartphones so we can hide notes. And I always have a notebook with me.
That reminds me of a question I wanted to ask. I'm sorry, Yvonne.
That's okay. Now go for it.
It was for myself, part of my health is a reason, but my thought process, it's easier for me to write in longhand and pen and pencil than it is to straight up type on Word or whatever format or program. But for some reason, on my website, I could type directly to my website, but for some reason, when I do book form, I feel like I have to write longhand. How do you process your words?
I'm typing directly in, but like if I wake up at night and I feel like I have to write something down, I'll write a note to myself about a scene that I want to do if I'm too tired to get up and go write it. I have been known to get up in the middle of the night and write for 2 or 3 hours and go back to bed and sleep in the next day because I just wake up and I'm thinking about my book. You know, this person's telling me they've got to have this written down.
You know what's really
and
bad?
You don't stop them.
No. What's really bad is when you've typed out several chapters, right? And you go back and you print it out, because I'm really bad about that. I over-edit myself. But in the midst of over-editing, I am manually writing new dialogue and new scene settings and rearranging paragraphs.
To the
paragraphs.
Side, on the right.
Whole pages. Whole pages. And pen it. So, guilty, I do both, Michelle.
Yes.
Can't
it's
help
frustrated.
It.
It's frustrating when you're doing that on a set and there's like a team of writers. You have their ideas that they're putting out. You have yours. And it's whose are you going to put on that piece of paper? Well, of course I vote for mine.
So let's, Debbie, I want to get back to Gloria's Coastal Sheriff. What is this book about? I know it's about a girl named Gloria, and I know it's about a sheriff, and I know it's on the coast.
Yes, ma'am. I've lived in Florida all my life. I haven't had a lot of different jobs because I've always worked at a long time at the jobs that I've had. And my first job that I had as an adult, I worked for Scotty's Building Supply for years. And then due to a divorce, I went back to school at the ripe old age of 36. I graduated with an AA in paralegal and worked in the legal field for a while. I worked in the medical field also because I had some schooling in that because I was trying to get a nursing school, but I just could not finish it. Due to the divorce, it was just a terrible, terrible time in my life then, and I just couldn't bring myself to go back and finish it. And I love to read and research, so that's why I decided to do the paralegal. I worked on that for probably the shortest time, about 6 to 8 years. Most of my background is medical. So what my Gloria's Coastal Sheriff is going to be based on is a premises of, in Florida we have a lot of horse rehabilitation to help kids and also our wounded warriors and different stuff. And I chose to work with kids because I love kids. So mine is a story about the ranch that has the rehab for the kids and the people that are in my little coastal town are going to be the basis of my romance stories that I'm writing off of it. And Gloria's Coastal Sheriff. Gloria is a sister to one of the young ladies that have to go to the ranch and get rehabilitated. And she falls in love with the local sheriff. And they meet in church. So, you know, I'm still keeping a little bit of my Christian background in my writing as well. In this book, not as well as in my Christmas story. So it's going to go through, you know, a lot of different things about horses and therapy. And, you know, they don't just get physical therapy. You know, they get mental therapy, and it helps them to de-stress and different things. So I'm trying to bring a little bit of stuff to people. I, you know, it's a little bit realistic, even though I'm not basing it on anybody that I know that's had this. It's just my experiences that I'm using to go through and some research on it and stuff.
Michelle, does that not sound like a Hallmark movie?
I know. I keep thinking about this. I do have a friend that I write to keep me sharp. I write for several, or write and research for several different genres. So one is a magazine called, a health magazine called Restoring the Self. And so the editor, I write pieces, and then it turned out that he partnered with somebody about to help pit bulls not be, euthanized or whatever the word is for dogs when that happens. So then I met her, and I met the both of them because he was originally from Pakistan. And I got to, and I worked for him for a couple of years before I even got to meet him. He came to the United States and became a writer here. And I got to meet his filmmaker partner. And she tells me, I have a Hallmark movie coming out. And I said, oh, and that the myself and my roommates were all about Hallmark. And the feel-good
for
the holidays. That's why I said, especially around the holidays, when you said he
I
doesn't
did the
love
whole
a good run.
Fly marathon.
And so, you know, I come back and I tell my roommates, guess what? I know somebody who made a Hallmark movie, and it's like all of a sudden.
That's awesome.
You know, that's what we're telling everybody. It's not all the stuff that I've ever done. It's the stuff that I know somebody who made a Hallmark movie. That's my ticket.
There you go. There you go.
So now I'm like, right now I'm thinking, oh, how could I help Debbie get this into a Hallmark movie?
Yes, that would be perfect.
I really
if you
am.
Could
I'm
that.
Really like spinning my wheels here.
Well,
so Debbie,
I do think it would be a notifications
movie.
For the people that are in need. Because, you know, not everybody can afford or does insurance pay for that type of therapeutic help that they are given, you know. It's like a lot of the specialty needs people, you know. Too many people aren't out in front in the social medias or on television or on the radio shows with the people that could really use the needs.
That's true. And even though your book is fiction, it carries a message, and like Michelle said, if she could get it on a Hallmark movie, it would be so powerful.
I think it would be. I'm constantly trying to get, you know, a cover topic. Yvonne knows this. I'm still blown away that you pay so much attention, Yvonne. Here I was paying attention to you. But I cover
you didn't say that.
I cover some pretty heavy topics, and so, and I'm constantly apologizing for spreading the cesspool of humanity all over everybody's news feed because of the stuff I post on my wall. But the creative writing putting difficult situations or people's different charities and organizations into a storyline and giving them the certain amount of advertising, I personally feel has more of an impact and a way to stick into the people's heads and hearts through a feel-good story such as yours or inspirational story or some kind of life challenge story that people can invest in. I feel like that is so much more impactful than a 2-day symposium of awareness, and where they can get a whole package or at least a very good taste of smorgasbord within a couple hours. And so I really like the idea of how you combined all these different elements into the story and gave it such realism by anchoring it into the horses and the children working together. I lived on the coast, so I know that some of these facilities, they take broken horses and they restore these horses through love,
right.
And then they help the children
and use
also
them to help other
to
people
to do that.
That are in need. Yeah, not just the children, you know. They use it, I forget where my research was, so I can't give you exactly the name of it or anything, but it did with the wounded warriors too. The dogs, the horses, the animals, caring for them, because there is not only rehab for people with the horses, there's rehab to the horses. That a lot of people can donate their time, just like they do with the dog and the cat shelters. They can donate their time, you know, and
help take care of them hands-on with the horses and get them back into the shape that they're supposed to be in when they're rescued.
Now, y'all see why I don't do a scripted show.
Well, I have to say this is a lot more fun.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is why we call it Off the Chain. Go ahead, Michelle.
You know, it's real life is not scripted.
No, it is not. Thank you. It is not scripted.
When I watch reality TV just so I could have a good laugh, oh, my favorite is when I'm watching it with somebody who any program, and they'll say they'll catch the glitch. They might have watched it for a long time, but I kind of ruin it for them after so many conversations, and they'll catch the glitch and they'll say, "That was scripted." How can you script reality? I said, "Well, real reality, you can't script."
Because if you do, you're in trouble, ladies and gentlemen, because reality is, real life is never scripted. I guarantee you, the three of us, we have a plan in life. We have a journey. We have a path. But I can promise you, I could ask either one of these ladies, has that journey, has that path, has that plan always been straightforward? And both of them, without hesitation, will say, no. Am I right, ladies?
Yes.
It's how do you do the loop de loop while you go straight forward? Somehow you do.
I know. So, I did not tell Debbie what I normally tell my guest at the beginning of the show because we got all kinds of crazy. But anytime I bring a new guest on, I tell them that the hour is going to go by really, really fast because most of them are going, but what am I going to talk about for an hour? Well, guess what? Our hour is almost up.
And it doesn't feel like we've been chatting that long. I can guarantee you it was a wonderful time.
It has. Now, I'm gonna ask you both, when the show goes off the air, I want y'all to stay online because I have some things to tell you, and it will, of course, go up in archives. But before we get there, Debbie, I want you to tell the entire world where you can be found, when the anthology is coming out. And ladies and gentlemen, after 6 months, Debbie gets the rights back to her anthology story, and she's going to put that in a book also. Where you can be found, when the book is coming out, the name of the story in the book, and the name of your new book again, so that people can friend you and can watch for all of your new releases. So the floor is now yours.
Okay. Well, we're having a cover reveal at www.facebook.com/groups/authorfriendswithbenefits. And that's going to be on October the 7th, so you can see the main cover. My personal site is on Facebook, where I'll be posting, and my regular site, which is Debbie Fair, or with my group, which is www.facebook.com/groups/S for sweet, capital B for beach, and capital R for reads, and then you just spell out with Debbie Fair, and that's DebbieFair. And I will be keeping everybody updated to all of that. And I hope to be at my first author signing, hopefully attending as an author next year in the summer with my favorite people.
Are you going to be at Coco?
2018. I'm punching for it. That's why I want to get my other book out before the end of the year so I can have one that's not just a holiday book in the middle of summer.
Sweet. Yeah, because I'm planning on being there, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm so excited for you. So excited.
Me too. I am very excited for it. Now, Miss Michelle, tell the lovely folks where you can be found. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, y'all don't get your knickers in a twist. I'm bringing Michelle back for her own hour, so y'all just chill out. And then we're going to bring her friend back, and we'll have an interview with him. So just stay tuned because it's going to get funner. that's a word. Okay, darling, tell them where you can be found.
I can be found on my website, onceuponaeden.org. Also on Facebook, just type in Michelle Carmella Saldana, S-A-L-D-A-N-A.
And I know you've got some articles out there or in magazines. People need to go read them.
I have some of them up on the Once Upon an Eden website. They're available. If somebody just asks if they could have a sample of my work, there's always projects that I'm working on for writing. And currently, as I said, I'm fixing to head out to Puerto Rico right after the holidays. I'll be spending it with some friends on the Gulf Coast. And then after that, I'll be headed to Puerto Rico with helping with the relief. And you all pray for me, because when I went to help Hurricane Katrina, I ended up being there 3 years.
Oh, my word. We're not going to let you be in Puerto Rico that long. We got a show to do. Remember that. So you got to hurry home, honey. You got to hurry home.
People will need all the help
that
you can help provide, I'm sure.
Real quick. I'm sorry, man.
I said I'm sure they'll enjoy all the help that you guys provide when you go, because it's going to take a while for them to recover. It's just devastating.
Yeah, but I found some feisty people already.
All right, then.
Some who call and give me, I need flares. I said, what do you need flares for? in case people come. Like, okay.
I'll be a flare.
Or I need tuna fish. I said, what do you need cans of, what? I need cans of tuna fish. Why? Because I'm hungry.
Oh, there
okay.
you go.
Those phone calls, ladies and gentlemen, I am.
So send tuna fish to Puerto Rico, because these people are in need, and the mainland is doing all they can. And for those that think that the mainland is not, we found out that nobody was in charge down there. You're dealing with a territory as opposed to a state, and you have to have special permission, and nobody knew who was on first. That has all been
fixed.
There
are laws, yes. There are laws.
Yes.
And there are rules, and there are protocols, and that is what's slowing things down. Plus, some of the island is knocked back to probably 1900s.
Right.
And some of it's probably knocked back to 1950s. And that's not an exaggeration. That is where Puerto Rico is. So people, and in times of hurricanes, people's emotions and the devastation, it runs ultimately high. So much of what you read in the news is just people detoxing their emotions. Please don't give in to the hype.
Thank you, Michelle. Thank you.
I know one thing that they don't think about when they said that the military was gone. That military had the hurricane until just maybe 2 or 3 days ago. They couldn't just start moving those big ships out. When
takes a minute.
She was still right there by her in Virginia, where they had to come from.
Exactly.
They're getting there as fast as they can.
Also, please keep in mind, there are materials on those ships that laws require a licensed forklift driver. And if they don't have a licensed forklift driver, those items are going to sit while people perish. So it's not politics. It's these special law, it's just everyday common sense
but
laws.
It's different than here.
Yes, it is.
So, ladies and gentlemen, we're fixing to lose our live show, but as I want to thank both Michelle and Debbie for being on our show, and I want to leave you with this. The difference between who you are and who you want to be is what you do. And as we have said tonight, we know who we want to be, so we're doing what we need to do to be who we want to be. Don't just feel special, be special. So until next Wednesday night, This is Off the Chain with your host, Yvonne Mason, my co-host, Michelle Saldana, and my guest, author Debbie Fair. And we wish you all a good night. And thank you, ladies, so much for being on the show. It was so much fun. I loved
it. Thank you for the honor. And thank you, Debbie, that I got to meet you.
Yes, thank you. It was a pleasure, and I really enjoyed it. It did not seem like an hour.
And now we're off the air. But what I wanted to tell both you ladies is this: when we hang up and the show goes completely dark, it will go load up into what they call the archives. When it loads up into the archives, I'm going to tag y'all in it. I'm going to put the link up on my page and tag both of you in it. And
okay.
Then tomorrow, I'm going to put it up on SoundCloud, Spreaker, Mixcloud, podcast.com, and Podcast Garden. I will tag y'all in those links as well. This show is heard on those links, as well as TuneIn Radio, FM.com, iTunes, and YouTube.
Very good.
That is why we
awesome.
Have so many listeners. So, any closing thoughts before we say goodnight?
Go ahead, Debbie. Go ahead.
Please. That's okay. Go ahead.
No, I'm going to wait.
Go ahead, Debbie.
I was just going to say thank you for letting me drop in at the last minute. It was very much a pleasure, Yvonne, to fill in for you, and I didn't feel like a fill-in either. I felt like a friend.
You are a friend, my darling, and I appreciate you doing that. And I'm going to bring you back to the first of the year because we're going to promote your books.
Well, I appreciate that as well. Hopefully I'll have the second one ready by then.
Yes, and you are special. So don't just feel special. You are special. And Michelle, what were you going to say, my darling?
I agree with Debbie because there's times where I filled in for somebody and as a guest, and they'll just let you know that you're filling in, even if it's a situation like I did, earlier, and I volunteered. I'm so honored that you asked me to be co-host. I was like, wow, you're just so wonderful, Yvonne.
Oh, honey, there's a dark side.
I know. Hey, I know. We feisty women. We are what we are. But I gotta say, please don't take this like a wrong way. But my great grandma was very feisty. She was a Southern Belle, and she did not allow us not to be feisty. She was even a bee charmer when I got stung by a bee when I was little, and she heard about it. She goes, "Here, sweetie," and she got me the smoker, and she goes, "Come with me." And we headed right over to the bees, and I said, "No, Grandma." She goes, "Just hum, child, just hum. Hum that smoke and hum."
Uh-huh.
And you remind me of her. You remind me of that.
Thank
spicy,
you.
Spicy like her. It's
what
great.
An honor. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart because I'm speechless. Thank you, darling.
Oh, your story about Irma.
Yeah.
Oh man, I loved it because I was like, yeah, I do the same thing. I loved it. It was like you were like, hey, the rest of the neighborhood of the town might not have electricity, but we sure as hell do. Why? Because
but we were
without,
but
yes.
We were lucky enough to have a generator.
Oh,
I'm
my
waiting
gosh.
For an adjuster to come visit me.
Oh, that's hilarious, because Yvonne goes to the front counter and says, "You have access to electricity. I suggest you get it on, because..."
guess what,
y'all? We had our electricity. Yes, because of me.
Well, the thing is, we were in Georgia. Now, my husband had just had cancer surgery. The surgery wasn't even a week old when we had to leave home. And he's and disabled
he
anyway.
He's supposed to be traveling.
Right, and he still had the staple in his side. So we're outrunning a Cat 5 hurricane because all of his medical equipment is run on electricity. And I knew if we
right.
and he's got chronic COPD, and I knew if the power went out, he would literally smother to death. And if you've never seen anybody smother to death, it ain't pretty.
It's not a good thing.
I told him, I said, we're leaving. He goes,
I've been on a CPAP, and I've been on, I've been intubated and on hospice myself, so it's not
yeah, and
much
he's on a
experience
CPAP.
Either.
No. It is not, and he is on a CPAP. So I said, we're leaving. So we get to the hotel that we always stay at when we go visit the children up in Jackson County. Now, that area is 30 minutes from the South Carolina line. You can't get much further in Georgia without being out of Georgia. So on Monday, the storm comes through as a tropical storm. Now, Georgia's used to tornadoes. We used to get them all the time. We get them every spring and every fall. It's no big deal. But they are not set up for tropical storm. Well, the tropical storm comes through, backed with tornadoes, and it knocks the power out. It not just doesn't knock the power out. It knocks down telephone poles. It uproots trees. It just wreaks havoc all over the state of Georgia. So we're sitting there in the dark, and they finally get the power on, and all of a sudden these people are coming into the hotel. I'm going, what the hell? And we're still we have the power on. Come to find out, their power's still out at their hotel, so they're switching hotels. Well, about the time they got checked in, the power went out again. So I went up to the girl, and I said, look, what is the problem? She said, well, they say there were. I said, okay, call the power company and tell them that you have a hotel full of disabled people, because it was my husband, it was a man who had had a stroke, and there were three or four other elderly people that were disabled. And she says,
right.
Well, the maintenance man is dealing with him. I said, well, then you call the maintenance man and tell him I said, don't make me call Georgia Power. 15 minutes later, we had power. I said, and that's how it's done.
That's a good,
you know,
a good thing.
Yes. You know, I wrote, when Hugh Hefner died, I wrote an essay about my encounters with him. God bless the feminist. Like, right now, on several people's pages, is Michelle Saldana, who's supposed to be one of ours, which I never, ever call myself a feminist. Never claim. Somehow they adopt me, and then they, on times like this, they're like, they realize I am just me.
Exactly.
But they're like, she's promoting Hugh Hefner, and I'm like, I think I made it very clear that the man was vile, but because I said I could call him up and I could.
But do you know
I mean,
some of the wonderful things that he did with all that money he made from everything?
Exactly. He helped a lot
he
of
people.
He helped
so many people.
It was because I put on my one status, my news feed is just a buzz with all the great things that he, in the way that he invested with people. That
mm-hmm.
got their knickers in a twist. The other thing that got their knickers in a twist was my essay. I said that I could call him up and get restitution out of him without taking him to court.
Well, think about this,
yeah.
Michelle. The women that claim to be feminist, they're pitiful.
Oh, they are. So they don't know how the world works. And I actually told them, you have your career because he created this genre. You wouldn't
yes.
be able to
do erotica for that reason.
Exactly.
As one person on Hollywood Boulevard, when I was an extra in this movie that was for quote awareness, he said, "So you're in the industry?" And I said, "Well, I do this I help the kids out and out of it, and I grew up mafia and all this other stuff, and now we're making this movie. It's, you know, they're basically G-rated, you know." He goes, "Yes, for now on, just say yes. You're in the industry. You're just in another category, like on the outskirts. And then I did something. I don't know what it was. He goes, I remember you. And I said, you do? And he says, I remember when you were at Hefner's house and you helped somebody. I remember when you, I used to, now, mind you, I'm a minister, but I used to go on porn sets. They're doing all their whatever while they're filming. And, I got some wild stories just on that alone. But as far as the essay goes, because I said that I exchanged recipes with him, which we did, we talked on the phone, and he liked to try good. He wanted people's family's recipes. Family was really important to him. I told him stories about my aunt Lita put two men through seminary. And three women through the convent by quote unquote sleeping houses or cleaning houses, but she weren't cleaning houses. She was out prostituting herself and pimping herself at age 60. So she was
smart woman.
Hugh Hefner herself. He loved that story. I have a grandfather who died while he was busy having sex with my great-grandma. He loved that. He was like, oh, you come from good stock. Bless your heart.
Oh, these are going to be some good stories when I bring you on, Michelle.
Good
and stuff.
Those are the stories that get those women's knickers all up in a twist. But I tell you what, he called me up. You didn't call me. Nobody needs anything this week. Am I good this week? And then I said, oh, I think so. And he goes, no, I can hear it in your voice. What's going on? And he goes, those preachers doing it to you? I said, oh, I'm telling you, I'd rather, you know, get screwed over by the devil than. And he goes, well, I can have the limo come pick you up.
And we're going to end on that one because we're going to save the best for the next show. So,
oh, my
ladies,
goodness.
Thank you both so much. It has been so much fun. And y'all are on the A-list. You're not fill-ins. You were the A-list.
Well, I thank you for the honor. Thank you for the ability to meet Debbie.
Yes, it was a pleasure. It was fun being able to have more than one person to chat with. It made it easier.
Yeah. So, ladies, let us get off of here. Let me get this thing uploaded and tagged out. And Debbie uses this promotion. And, Michelle, you know what to do with it because you're in the business already.
Oh, you have a good night. And Debbie,
good
I'm
luck
Facebook.
And prayers for you on your trip, too.
Oh, thank you.
When it
and
happens.
I'm going to friend request you as soon as we hang up.
Not a problem.
Okay.
All right.
You all have a good night.
Anything you need on my side, just like all my other friends do.
Oh, thank you. Well, you all have a good night. Many blessings to you both.
Same to
have
you, my darling.
Have a fun weekend. Mm-hmm.
Talk to y'all later.
All
bye-bye.
Right, bye.